On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I tried to build my life on my own wisdom, my own goodness, and I failed miserably, which was actually the grace of God at work in me, bringing me to the end of myself, bringing me to the realization that apart from Him, I really can't do it. I can't make it. God didn't come just to patch us up and to improve on the old, but He came to make us new, to make us into a brand new creation. That's why I'm no longer a slave to sin, I'm a slave to fear, because I'm a child of God. Amen. And I know my Father has got my back. My Father's for me. Hallelujah. Amen. And when the father of lies comes up, you know, and tries to mess with you, you just say, my Father's bigger than you are. And don't mess with me, because I'm one of His kids. Amen. And the Father's authorized me in Jesus' name to send my enemy away. Amen. To drive him away. Thank you, Lord. How many believe that? That you've been given the authorization to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the works of the adversary, the enemy? And what? Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. The devil doesn't want God's people to believe that, you see. It's a matter of what you believe, isn't it? Are you putting your faith in the lie or in the truth? In what God said. His word, amen. And His word is forever settled in heaven. What God says, He means. And because of His integrity, God submits Himself to His own word. Amen. How many know that a good king is one that will, you know, not only say, but do what he says he will do? Amen. And God is always true. Hallelujah. He's not a man that he should lie. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Well, guys, thanks for coming out today, you know, and making that, you know, that big step of getting out of bed. And, you know, sometimes the enemy just kind of like, hey, you know, you're tired. Just stay in bed. I think, you know, people think the devil doesn't know what's going on, but I think he knows quite a bit about what's going on. That's why he's always trying to thwart something before it happens. All right? He knows what's up ahead. So he wants to abort God's promises in your life. But we have to ignore that voice, amen? Quit listening to the lies of the enemy. And if you don't know what the truth is, then you're going to listen to a lie. You're going to believe a lie. And as the Lord said through Hosea, He says, my people perish for lack of knowledge, because they even had rejected the knowledge of God. You know, and they were all wise in their own minds, their own understanding. And that always gets us in trouble, doesn't it? Hallelujah. But Proverbs says in chapter 3, in all our ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct our path. Amen. I've come to learn that God is far smarter than I am, far wiser than I am. A lot of people are thinking that they're pretty smart, they're pretty clever, they're pretty wise. But how many know that God knows the thoughts and the intents of every heart, and even the hidden things, and everything in hidden will be brought to light. Amen. The truth will reveal it. And when the Lord returns, hallelujah, how many know He's coming in clouds of glory? The glory of God is going to shine. And all the cockroaches are going to try to hide, but guess what? There's no place to hide when the light shows up. Amen. And the Lord says He's going to destroy the adversary, the Antichrist, with the brightness of His coming. So it says, He will destroy him with the brightness of His coming. Hallelujah. So how many know it's always a good place to be, where your conscience is clear, your heart is clean, you're at peace with God, that you know you've already taken care of all the stuff, and you brought it to Jesus, the only one that can actually deliver you and heal you, amen, and forgive you. And you get it taken care of now. Amen. You don't want to wait to that day. You want to take care of that business now. Get your heart right with your Maker. Amen. Because He says He's coming in an hour when you think not. And, you know, how many people have decided, well, I'm going to wait to one of those days. And one of those days never comes because something happens between that time and one of those days. We don't know the number of our days. God does. We don't know when we're going to take our last breath. God does. But God is gracious. He's long-suffering. He's merciful. And he's not willing that anyone should perish. So God strives with man as he did in the days of Noah. But he said, even in that day, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And God has given us an opportunity to be saved. He's given us opportunity now to have our sins forgiven, to blot it out, and to have our hearts, amen, reconciled to him. So we have to take advantage of the opportunity and the privilege of grace today. God calls us by his grace, amen, into his favor, into his fellowship. And we don't come, guys, with our own merits, amen, our own good works. How many know that that doesn't stand before a holy God? How many know that we don't even have anything that he didn't give us in the first place? So whatever we have is something that he gave us. Whatever talents, abilities, cleverness you may possess, amen, is from your Creator. So really all we have to do is offer God, amen, the mess we've made of our lives. Give him the old lump of clay, amen, that's all marred. And let the master potter do something with it. Amen. He's going to break it, but he's going to make it anew. Hallelujah. He's going to make it into a new vessel. And this will be a vessel of honor. A glorious vessel. Amen. That can contain the treasure of his presence. And today, hallelujah, we are his treasure. We are his vessels of honor. And God dwells, amen, in our hearts. Hallelujah. We have this treasure in an earthen jar. Amen. An earthen vessel. Yet the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So it's not like we have much to give except what God has given us in the first place. All we're doing is giving back to God, amen, what he's given to us. Hallelujah. Let me just say this. I know there's a lot of stuff that goes on, stuff you see on television, of people that are sometimes fleecing people, trying to get their money. How many know that God doesn't need our money because it's all his? Amen. Understand that, amen? Even the money that you have is really his. You didn't get anything that he didn't give you. Well, I work for this. Well, who gave you the ability to work? Amen. Who opened the door of opportunity for you to work? Amen? Amen. All good gifts come down from the Father. Amen. So when we give, we should give with a pure motivation, amen? Not because we're manipulated to give or pressured to give or made guilty if we don't. But we want to give as the Lord would direct us to give. Be obedient to his voice. That's what we say. You know, God always takes care of us in this fellowship, in this church, because we don't try to push people or pressure people. And even in the lean times, we'll never bow down to that cow. Amen. Because we know who our provider is. And we simply come to the Father and say, Father, you know what we have need of. And right now we acknowledge that you are our provider. And we thank you, Father, that you will provide for us as you always do. Thank you in Jesus' name. We refuse to worry. Worry is illegal for us. Amen. We have our confidence, our trust in you who will take care of our stuff. Amen. And he does. He does. And he'll do the same for you. And Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. Amen. Now listen. Because we give, it's because we love. God gives because he loves. Amen. So when you give out of love. Amen. Not out of fear or manipulation or anything else. Not because somebody else is doing it. How many have ever had the thought, well, you've been in a group of people and you really didn't have much to give. And you felt, well, I got to do something because other people are giving. And they may look at me and say, well, why aren't you giving? You ever had that voice before? So you gave just simply because you wanted somebody to see you give. I've done it. How many know that that's not how you do it? You don't do it before man, amen? It doesn't matter if man acknowledges. If what you do is before God, amen? You give as unto him and not unto man. And not to show off and say, well, look what I did. You know, I mean, sometimes this gets really crazy. And I remember one time I was in this one particular church and in the back of the bulletin, they had a list of all who were giving and how much they were giving. So it was almost like they were manipulated to compete for how much. And so I can get to the top of the rung so I could be recognized by man in my giving. How many know that you got your reward? So Jesus said, you've already got your reward. But you give in secret, you give, amen, before the Father, and then he'll take care of you, amen. And whatever you do, you do as unto the Lord. Do it for the glory of God. Hallelujah. And if somebody acknowledges you in something you do that's good, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. But Lord, I know you're the one that deserves the glory. You deserve the praise for it. Amen. Hallelujah. And if somebody compliments you guys, it's okay to say thank you. Did you know that? You've heard it said before with the person who sang the song, and they said, somebody came up and said, oh, that was a beautiful song. You got such a beautiful voice. Well, it wasn't me, right? And what was the response? Oh, no, Jesus sings better than that. You know, false humility. How many know that God gives us the gifts that we have? Amen. And it, we're partnering with Jesus. That's how it works. It's you and Jesus together doing this, okay? Why did the Father say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased? Did not the Father, amen, rejoice over his Son because the Lord Jesus Christ was obedient to the Father, amen? He was there to do his Father's will. So he validated the Lord and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. How many know it's okay? Sometimes God's trying to validate you through somebody else. It's called encouragement. Amen. So receive that, because it's an insult when somebody says something to you with a good heart and a good motivation to encourage you in something you've done for the Lord. Amen. And unto the Lord, to say, it wasn't me. Don't praise me for it, or don't thank me for it. Well, no, that's an insult. How many know I'm talking about when somebody has tried to give you some encouragement or some praise and you rejected it? No, you just say thank you and then praise the Lord. In other words, you say thank you, but I give the Lord the glory for it. Amen. So you thank the Lord. Amen. As well. But receive that as from the Lord and not from man. Does that help? So receive encouragement from somebody, but as from the Lord. Sometimes the Lord is telling you to go and encourage a brother or sister. Amen. And so if they're just like saying, oh, no, it ain't about me. Well, no, it's really not. But God allowed you to partner with him in this. And God wants you to know that he's pleased with what you've done in obedience to his voice. Is this making sense? This is how it is. The Lord wants to validate you as sons and daughters and what you do, even unto him, amen, for his glory. But you don't take it upon yourself as though it was of you. You know the source. You know the substance was Christ, amen? He was the one that enabled you. He's the one that gifted you. He's the one that empowered you. But it wasn't about, the source was not you. And you recognize that. Does it not encourage your heart when somebody does compliment you? When you're in obedience to the Lord, doing something for him, and somebody comes along and acknowledges that, and it encourages you, and it's supposed to. We're supposed to encourage one another. Amen. There's a difference between that and then just somebody trying to puff you up. Amen. Or for somehow we get the impression that it wasn't God, but it was me. And that's where we get into trouble. I mean, you know, the Bible says that Satan himself was an anointed cherub, and he was beautiful. He's a beautiful being. But he let that get to his head. Amen. So we need to have the proper perspective on receiving, you know, praise or even thanks from others. Understanding, well, it was because of the Lord. Even Paul the Apostle says, because of his grace, I am who I am. It's because of his grace, I am who I am. Wanted to talk a little bit about identity again this morning, because the biggest problem we have is not understanding our true identity. So we look for validation, we look for, you know, purpose, we look for value or self-worth from others and from the world around us. And if we don't understand who we are, then we'll live a dysfunctional life trying to please everybody around us. How many know that's really a trap to live in? This is called the fear of man. If you live just to please everybody, you'll end up compromising. You'll end up doing things that you shouldn't do or wouldn't ordinarily do. You know what I'm talking about? Peer pressure. conformity to the crowd. What's the crowd doing? It amazes me how they go and they interview people on the street, sometimes in the protests and the things that are going on. And the majority, sometimes, of the people that they interview don't have a clue what they're really protesting about. They just saw somebody else doing it, or their friend was doing it. Or they heard something and they didn't check it out. There's no critical thinking. They just go with whatever the crowd does. Whatever is popular, that's what we do. So they're slaves to fear. They're slaves to the opinions of others. And, you know, Jesus was a standalone guy. Jesus had 12 disciples, amen, but he was not going to be controlled by them even, amen. He was a standalone guy. Jesus was under orders from the Father, and that's what he was here to do. Even when it made some people mad, even when it offended people. And I mean, you know that Jesus offended everybody around him, including his mother, his family, right? Certainly the Pharisees, his disciples. Did he come here to offend people? No, he came to bear witness to the truth. But the truth is offensive to the fallen nature of man. And all of us were born in sin, amen? Conceived in iniquity. We were all born sinful and separated. So what God wants to do is transform us into new creations and not just add principles to our already messed up life. A lot of people are running here and running there, going to seminars, trying to improve their life. And they spend thousands of dollars sometimes to go to these seminars that are basically not helping them. Because what God came to do is transform your life, not improve your life. He said you can't put a new patch on an old garment. You got to throw that old garment away. You need a new garment. You need a fresh beginning. You need to be born again. You need to be saved. And so the world says, well, you need to discover yourself. Your identity will only be found as you discover yourself. Now, how about we discover our Creator, the manufacturer, get to know Him, and understand then from His perspective who I truly am, and not my own evaluation of myself. We're really good at evaluating ourselves, aren't we? We can come up with all kinds of excuses of why we're not living right. Am I alone here? Am I the only one that's ever done? Instead of taking responsibility for my actions, a lot of times we're looking for a scapegoat. We're looking for somebody else to blame for my problems. And so discovering myself is discovering something that was a mess. And God allowed me to see myself, praise God, for the first time. He gave me a film, a picture. It was like one of those Rolodexes of pictures and events and things that happened really quickly through my life. And I was seeing all this stuff and I couldn't believe how vile I really was. Whereas prior to that time, I was justifying myself, and I was always right, and it was her fault or their fault that I did what I did. Are you hearing me, somebody? So we're good at evaluating ourselves, but we're not capable of adequately evaluating ourselves. It's only the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of truth, who searches the heart, who knows the heart, who knows who we really are, what's really going on. So our identity is not going to be found in discovering ourselves, but we're discovering who God is and who He says we are. I think the manufacturer knows the product. Man, I know most men, they don't use instruction manuals because real men don't read those things, you know. Yeah. But we have an instruction manual right here, don't we? Praise God. Amen. Yes, and we need to discover what God says. Hallelujah. And so what used to be normal to me is now abnormal. Because I couldn't see, because I was blind to my true condition. So I evaluated myself by myself, or even compared myself to others. Well, Lord, I'm glad that I'm not like other men. I'm not that bad of a guy. Yeah, I've done some bad things, but look at all the good things I've done. And God, I just thank you that I'm not like those creepy people over there. Until one day God removed the veil from my eyes and I saw I was one of those creepy people. I was a mess. I was defiled. I was dirty. I was filthy from sin. I was in need of cleansing and forgiveness, in need of mercy from God. And God in His mercy allowed me to see who I really was apart from Him and how much I needed His mercy in my life. Because one thing, guys, you cannot change. You can change all kinds of things in your life. You can make new resolutions. You can quit doing this habit or that habit. Well, one thing you can't do is change your heart. Only God can change the heart. And what God does is He doesn't patch up the heart. He takes out the old heart and gives you a new heart. And you're born again. And all of a sudden now you see things differently. Now you're seeing things from heaven's perspective. You're beginning to understand what is true, what is authentic, what is real, and who you really are according to God's truth, not according to what I used to think I was. And like I said, before I realized who I was, I thought things were normal. It was everybody else that was the problem. It's insanity, as Jim would say. You know, we are called as a royal priesthood in the New Testament, in the new birth. We're called to bless people. So as a royal priesthood, we have been authorized to bless, amen, and not curse. And so the message of the gospel is to declare the way to friendship with God through the blood of Christ. When we are separated from Christ through sin, we're actually enemies. Because God is holy and we are not. So we have to be reconciled or brought back into harmony with God. And the only way that we can come into friendship with God is through the blood of Jesus Christ. You can't become a friend of God by just changing your behavior. Because as long as sin is there, you can't come before His holy presence. See, a lot of times we just think, I'll just change my behavior, turn over a new leaf, start acting a little differently, changing some habits. Well, that's all good, but that doesn't save you. You can't patch up the old thing. You got to be done with your life. You got to come to the place where you realize, like Paul said, in me I find nothing good. As the prophet said, there is none good, not one. Because I used to think I was a pretty good person, you know. You ask me, I tell you. And I thought, well, if I just did enough goods, it would outweigh the bads and somehow I'd make it into heaven. Problem is the bads are going to keep you from heaven. You got to deal with the bads. And you need to receive the goodness that comes from God only. God makes you good. God makes you righteous. God makes you holy. You can't make yourself good enough, righteous enough, holy enough. It's Jesus Christ who is our righteousness. Christ in you is the hope of glory. So the only way to be right before God is to be right in Him. To be clothed in Him, in His righteousness. My life has to be immersed, amen, in Him. I need to be inside the bottle with Him, amen, immersed in Him. So God sees the righteousness of Jesus. And while I'm in that bottle, he's working on me on the inside. Amen? 1 Peter 2:9 says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." 1 Peter 2:10, "Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." How many know that these were promises that were given to Abraham and his descendants? This is the household of faith. Abraham believed God. It was imputed to him as righteousness. He was righteous not because of his works, but because he trusted in the Lord. So God chose Israel as a people who would represent him in the earth. They were called to be a nation of priests. Isaiah 61:6, "But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast." Exodus 19:6, "And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." Who is he speaking of? He's speaking to Israel, his ancient people, amen, the chosen people. "These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." So in the New Testament, what Peter is saying is that in Christ, you and I receive, amen, the benefit of being made right with God to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own special people, amen. So there's no longer Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male nor female, but all are one in Christ Jesus. God has brought the two together, Jews and Gentiles, to be his vessels. Ephesians 2:11. "Therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands." What is he saying? The Jews were known as the circumcision, right? And everyone that was non-Jewish was uncircumcision. Okay? He says that at the time you were without Christ. Here's the key. Either you have Christ or you don't. "Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." So only Israel had the promises. They were to Abraham. Amen. But he also said to Abraham and his seed, singular. And that seed, of course, is pointing forward to Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ, who would come born of a woman. Born under the law, to redeem us who are under the law, and bring us into sonship, so that there would be no wall dividing between Jew and Gentile, but would be united perfectly together in Christ. God wants to bring everyone together in Christ. Christ is our righteousness. We can only be righteous in Christ, not in self, not in my performance, not in my goodness, but I do good works out of love for him who saved me, amen, and brought me to himself and calls me son. I'm no longer a slave. Fear. Ephesians 2:13, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation between what? Jew and Gentile. Now Galatians also, chapter 3, verse 26, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Therefore, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus." And verse 29, "And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." We have a privilege. We are privileged people. We are blessed and highly favored people and deeply loved. Because of the covenant that God made. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. When God saw that we could not keep his law, he knew that. But he gave us the law so that we would realize that we couldn't live up to his standards. And the Bible says the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It was a tutor. It was there to make us realize that we're all sinful. apart from Him. So no matter how many good things I do, I'm still sinful apart from Christ. And you can't come before heaven. You can't go to heaven. You can't be before God, amen, with sin that has to be dealt with. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did at the cross, is He dealt with the sin problem, praise God, once and for all. It is finished. So there is atonement. This is the message, that you and I can be made friends with God again, hallelujah, through the blood of Jesus. Not by our own works or the things that we've done, but by His own mercy, He saves us. Amen? And reconciles us to Himself and calls us son. We're no longer a slave to sin. We were born that way. We were born in slavery, but Jesus Christ came to set us free from slavery and bring us into sonship. Heirs of Jesus. So God wants you and I to understand our identities. First step is just understanding who we are now. And quit listening to the lie and the devil tries to talk you out of the promises of God. Because we live by faith in the promises of God. So identity is very important. Who am I? Well, we just read that. But you are what? Chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. Peculiar people. We're a holy nation. We're God's people through faith in Jesus Christ. And so there's no distinction between Jew and Gentile. I know there's some people that think, well, we're natural Jews and therefore we have a little bit of a higher place or plateau in heaven. No. God says all the valleys are going to be filled. All the mountains are going to come down. You're all going to have to go the same way. And that is through Jesus. Amen. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. Amen. So there's no longer this distinction. Now, God has given Israel some national, amen, blessings and some land that He's promised. And that is still true today. But we have to make a distinction between, amen, the spiritual Jew, or the one who is a Jew inwardly, that of circumcision of the heart, that would be the believer in Jesus and Yeshua, amen, and then the natural Jew, who God has given them territory and given them land, and He's given them promises. In every place they go on the earth, you know, they still seem to prosper, and that's why a lot of people hate them. I think a lot of it's just plain jealousy. So I'm not speaking replacement theology. What I am saying is that in Christ, we're equals. In Christ, we're the same. You and I, in Christ, are all valuable to God. We're His precious possession. Amen? So we have to be very careful that we're not being prejudiced and we're not being, you know, partial in our judgments of brothers and sisters, understanding that everyone has to come the same way to Jesus, amen? And that is through repentance and faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, amen? We have to call upon the Lord the same way and ask God to forgive us and ask God to cleanse us. And God welcomes us. And, you know, it was for this reason that Jesus came and died, that we might be brought near to Him, that we might be brought back into fellowship, that we could become a friend of God. Isn't that awesome? So guys, we got to get over this thing where the world is, people are trying to discover themselves. They call, sometimes I got to go soul search. Well, yeah, go soul search. And I pray the Holy Spirit will turn the light on your soul. And you begin to realize that. Well, because the idea is that we're all intrinsically good. Right? Well, everybody's good. No, not everybody is good. No. Don't believe that, okay? That's why Jesus came. Why did Jesus come? Because we're not good. Because we're unrighteous. We're unholy. We're incapable, amen, of standing before His presence, amen, apart from His righteousness. What does God do? God puts upon us His clothing, amen, that robe of righteousness, and calls us sons and daughters so that we can be qualified to come before His presence with confidence, amen, in His righteousness and not my own righteousness. As long as I got that uniform on, come on, I'm in uniform, right, brother? You don't come bebopping to formation, right, in your civvies. You better have that uniform on. You better have it straight, too, right? And you have an insignia that identifies you as part of this unit, part of that company, amen? So that's what God does. He has a distinction for us, doesn't he? He puts that ring on our finger, those sandals on our feet, that turban on our head, and that robe, and says, son, amen? And qualified to be in my presence. Not because of what you did, but because of what my son Jesus Christ did on your behalf. And when you come into Christ, your heart changes, your desires change. You can't any longer live in sin comfortably. You're miserable when you mess up. How many know what I'm talking about? And you say, oh God, I got to get this right. I got to get right with you. God, forgive me for that. Oh, thank you, Father, for your mercy. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. I've got peace with God today. How about you? I've got peace. Hallelujah. We love our kids, amen, even when they fail. If you're a child of His, then He's a good Father. He will discipline. Ephesians 4:22 says, you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So there has to be a putting off before you can put on. Some people are trying to put the new thing over the old thing. It doesn't work. You got to put off the old so you can put on the new. So what does the Spirit of God do? He influences our thoughts process so we can reason. You know, we're good at reasoning from our own standpoint. But the Spirit of the Lord enables us to reason from God's standpoint. So that we can know God's thoughts about things, God's heart about things. But unsaved or unregenerate people, as I once was, are incapable of adequately reasoning. That's why sometimes, now that I've been born again and I see things differently, I scratch my head and I say, what was I thinking before? And then I see other people doing the stuff that I used to do and I think, man, they're unreasonable. Some people you can't even reason with, you know what I'm talking about? You're trying to reason with them and it's just, they're unreasonable. It's because of blindness. Sin blinds and darkens their soul so man cannot see. So if you can see something, thank God that He's allowed you to see. Amen? But reach out in love and mercy to that one and pray for that one. And that perhaps God will remove the veil and they'll begin to see clearly and know the truth and escape the snare of the devil. We've got to be reformed, you see, in our thinking. We change the way we think by praying and singing in the Holy Spirit and feeding on God's Word. Hallelujah. We need to stay in the Spirit of God. Amen. We need to stay clothed in the Spirit of God. Put on and put off the old and put on the new. Don't yield to the old. Amen. Yield to the new. So what God wants to do is He wants to change our minds, change our thinking. Be renewed in the spirit of your intellect. Spirit of your intellect. So it's kind of like this. When you are born again, you come to repentance. You realize that you're a mess and that you need to be saved. You come to Jesus and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God forgives you. Amen. And He places His Spirit in you. And all of a sudden now you start to see things differently. But then you realize all of a sudden there's a conflict going on within me. There's a conflict in my mind where my mind is telling me one thing and the Spirit of the Lord is telling me another thing. And now I'm kind of caught between the two. I'm a spiritual teenager. Some days I act mature, other days I'm immature. So I have to grow up. Amen? And I have to change the way that I'm thinking in my mind. And it's the Spirit of the Lord who does that work through His Spirit and by the Word. where our minds are renewed, amen, we begin to think His thoughts. We begin to see things from His perspective. Amen. So when you are spiritually mature, it means that your mind is no longer being wavering between two thoughts. Amen. You are now solely, amen, sold out for God. Your mind wants to dwell on, think on holy things, God's things. Amen. And occasionally, yes, you're going to get the enemy coming up to you and planting thoughts in your mind. Amen. What do? Well, you just say no. You resist. You say, I refuse to entertain that thought. I take that thought captive. If it doesn't agree with the Word of God, it's illegal for me. You see, this is the problem. Is a lot of people, in their minds, they're not being renewed, even as believers, because they don't know the truth. They don't know the Word of God. They don't know what God says. So the enemy can continue to camp out in the areas of darkness, because when the Word of God comes in, the light of God comes in, what happens is the enemy can no longer stay there. He can't abide in the truth because he's the father of lies and everything he does is a lie. So he can't abide in the truth. That's why you should be in your Word. That's why you should be devouring it. Being in discipleship, being in church, getting as much as you possibly can, amen, so that the enemy has no place in you to camp out. See, a lot of believers, they believe in Jesus, and maybe they're born again, but they're just constantly double-minded because they don't have the knowledge of God, and they don't rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit every day to help them. Do you know God will give you the ability to live above the world, the flesh and the devil? Do you know in Christ Jesus, you're no longer a slave to sin? You've already been set free. But if you don't know that, if you don't know what's freely given to you, if you don't have the mind of Christ, then you're going to just continue to live a defeated life. That's why we should be hungry. We should be thirsty for truth. Because Jesus said, you shall know the truth. What? And the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. We've got to be reformed, guys, in our intellect. That's the battlefield. That's where it's happening. Amen? It's not that you don't have the Spirit of God. It's that you've got to give full authority to God in your life. Amen? To rule and reign in your thought life. Once you get your thought life in order, your life will reflect what's going on inside. You'll bear the fruit of God. Amen? When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, it means you have no place for the devil in you. And God fills you to capacity, to where you overflow. And every day, we have to make a decision who's going to rule us. Who we're going to bow to. Who we're going to listen to. So that's why we pray. You've got to pray. It's why you've got to sing in the Spirit. Amen? That's why you need to stay in the Word. You've got to feed yourself the Word of God. Hallelujah. So that you know what is true. And when that enemy comes up to you and he tries to offer you a lie, you'll say, wait a minute. That's not true. That does not agree with the Word of God. But if you don't know what the Word says, are you hearing me, somebody? You know, when we're a child, we're growing up. We have parents or we have tutors. We have somebody in charge of us. And they're there to train us. They're there to teach us. They're there to instruct us. Amen. As we're growing up. Amen. So if we're obedient children or we're willing to learn. How many here remember when you were a kid that you wanted to grow up? Yeah. You wanted to grow up. So I wanted to always, you wanted to, how old are you? 5 1/2. We'd add the half on there, right? Because you're like always wanting to be older. And then when you get to a certain point, you're saying, well, how old are you? Well, it's not important, really. But, you know, that's something that God puts in even a new babe in the Lord, where you have a desire to grow. If you're born of the Spirit, if you're born again, you'll have a hunger and a thirst for Him. You'll want to grow and learn. Amen. Why? Because you don't want to be a child forever. You want to grow up. So the Spirit of the Lord works with us. He's a teacher. He's a tutor. And He uses people, preachers, pastors, right? Brothers and sisters teachers, others, right? Just to speak into our lives, to help us to grow and to have our minds renovated, our thinking changed. How many can say today you think a whole lot different than you used to? Amen? Man, it's amazing. And sometimes I catch myself saying, because I look at people and the stuff they're doing, and then I got to remind myself, oh yeah, that used to be me. Because sometimes when you've been living in this reality, amen, in the truth for so long, you can forget. Amen? And we have to be very careful that we understand and we remember what God did in our lives and what He brought us out of. Amen? Lest we somehow get proud of where we're at. We need to say, thank you, Lord, for whatever you've done in my life, because I know it's of your mercy and your grace that I'm today where I'm at. Amen? And help me to be gracious with others. Help me to be patient with others. Amen? Help me to overlook offenses with others. Amen? So that I can look to the heart of that person and reach that heart. Amen? Hallelujah. Because God shed His blood for that person, for that soul. That soul is that valuable to Jesus. Amen? We can don't judge any longer according to the flesh or outward appearance even. Amen? But we want to see people as God sees them. Amen? As lost sheep. And He wants people to come back to fold. Amen? Come back into the household of God. He wants His sheep to be reunited with Him. Amen? And be friends with God again. That's God's heart. God wants us to be vessels. How many here are a vessel for the Lord? What does a vessel do? A vessel receives and pours out. Amen? It's not enough just to receive, guys. We've got to be pouring out. I find when I'm pouring out, I'm receiving too. Amen. He who waters will himself be watered. Yeah. So it's not enough just to know who we are intellectually. We need to learn how to live in our new identity. Live out, amen, the life God has for us. And how many know that He came to give us life abundantly? Amen. He didn't come to take away. He came to give. And He's given us a superior life in Him. The life I was living, well, I never thought it was all that great, honestly. There's a lot of times I thought about taking my life before. You know, but God had plans. And God protected me. But you know, wearing a uniform and carrying a gun doesn't make you a police officer. Imposters, impersonators can do that. You've heard of them. People wearing uniforms, pulling people over and taking advantage of them, whatever. You know? So an imposter, an impersonator, maybe a Barney Fife individual. If Barney only knew what he had. But a police officer is one who is, first, a police officer. Whether or not he puts that badge on or that uniform on at all, he has to first be a police officer. Amen? It is who he is. And so a police officer who knows who he is, knows what he's been authorized to do, how to enforce the law, he has confidence in what that uniform, amen, and that badge represents. It represents authority. He's been deputized, he's been authorized to enforce the law. Amen? So you've got to be a police officer before you can begin to function as one. That's the point. You've got to be a true born-again believer before you can actually function as one. There are people trying to function as Christians who aren't even Christians. They may be good people. They may be friendly. They may be good citizens, good neighbors, some of the nicest people you meet. But if they're not born again, they're not saved. They're not going to heaven. Because no flesh can glory in His presence. The old man has to die. The old has to be done away with. You have to get a new heart from God. Amen? A new heart that will love God, that will serve God, that will praise God, that will bless God, that will obey His voice. That's what God is saying. He wants us to be friends, but He can't be friends with the old nature, the old sin nature. It has to be put away. You have to put that off and then put on the new. Become new. And then be renovated, be transformed in your thinking, in your intellect, in your mind. Let your mind be transformed by the truth of the Word of God. Amen? So that what's going on in your spirit is going to come into alignment with what's going on in your head. Are you hearing me, somebody? So that that intellect now comes under the authority of the Spirit of God in you. And now God has a vessel He can trust. How many realize that the day is coming, every one of us in this room are going to bow before Jesus, kneel before Jesus in that day? That day is coming. Today is the opportunity you have, first of all, to be saved, but also to be equipped and to be a vessel that the Lord can use so that you bear fruit unto eternal life. So the day you see Jesus, you're going to be rejoicing with a joy unspeakable, full of glory. Why? Because you have lived your life for that time when you'll be reunited with your Lord. And out of love for Him, you have served Him. Amen. And you know you're entering into your reward. But if you're living for self, first of all, you've got to ask the question, are you truly born again? If you've got the heart of God in you, there's going to be a desire, amen, to walk with fellowship, with serve, be a blessing to. You love the Lord, so you do what pleases Him. Are you hearing me, somebody? And when you don't do the things that please Him, you know that. You grieve His heart. So we serve the Lord out of a love relationship, and not out of obligation or a means of being justified, but because we're justified, we'll serve Him out of gratitude. So if you don't believe who God says you are and what you're capable of, then you will not be able to make an impact for Christ. If I don't know who I am and what I'm capable of doing, if I don't know what I've been authorized to do, if I don't understand my identity in Christ as a new creation, as a son, amen, as a royal priesthood. Even Revelation says that we're kings, little k's, and priests unto God. What does king speak of? It speaks of authority, commanding authority. As children of God, we've been given authority to command demons. Amen? To cast demons out in Jesus' name. To decree things. A king can decree things, and they'll come to pass. But as a priesthood, we also offer spiritual sacrifices before the Lord of thanksgiving and joy and praise to our Father. Amen. And as a priesthood, we stand in the gap on behalf of others. We intercede on behalf of others. We pray for people. Amen. As a priest, we represent Jesus to the world and the world to Jesus. We're vessels of God. And if I know who I am, this is who I am. This is who God has called me to be. And I am now to live in that identity and bear fruit unto eternal life. See, this is the thing. If people do not discover who they are in Christ, they'll continue to live in a lie. If I don't know what is true, then I will be deceived by the lie. How many would agree with me today that we need to know the Word of God? That we need to study the Word of God. We need to internalize the Word of God. As David said, Thy Word have I hidden my heart that I might not sin against Thee. So the light is on. David was an anointed man, but he understood the importance of internalizing the Word of God. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You can say, I am a chosen generation. I am a royal priest. I am a holy nation. I am His own special people. For what reason? That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Hallelujah. How many give Him the Lord praise? You live for His honor. Amen? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you how good God is. Let me make my boast in my God. Amen? I used to boast in myself. But I'm done with me. I want to boast in the One who saved me from me. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:17. How many know this real well? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, not us. who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So not only are we reconciled, but then he says, now I want you to go and reconcile others. Bring others to me. Just as God received us, amen, he wants to receive others too. The same way we came through repentance. Now then, we as ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. If you're here today, you're not saved. You're not really sure you're saved. Maybe you've been a good person, but you're not really born again. Maybe you're just kind of curious and interested in some of the things that you've heard today. But God wants you, amen, to come to him with a realization that apart from him, you cannot be saved. He says if you try to save your life, you will lose it. But if you will lose your life for my sake and the gospel, you will find it. He's saying you have to exchange your life for mine. You put off you and put on me. Die to yourself and live in me. Hallelujah. And you'll find life and life more abundant and overflowing, superior quality, superior quantity life in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want to get rid of the inferior thing for the superior. You know, there's many oppressed and sick and broken and lost people in this world. But there's few who will actually do something about it. If you are a child of God, you've been born again. Your sins are forgiven. You're in right standing with God today. Well, God has called you to the ministry of reconciliation. He's sending you and I out, amen, to proclaim this message. To tell other people, even warn other people, that there is a judgment coming. That the wrath of God is coming and is going to come upon the entire earth. But you can be reconciled to God. You can be made back into a friend of God. And you can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus went to the cross on your behalf to reconcile you back to himself. He bought you with his own precious blood. So you could be a new person, a new creation. Hallelujah. And you can escape the wrath to come. What was it that caused the people when John's preaching to come to be baptized of John? He says, what warned you to flee from the wrath to come? It was the Spirit of the Lord that was working on people's hearts and conscience, telling them that you need to get reconciled to God because there is coming a day of great wrath and judgment, and you see the beginning of it now. It's starting to happen across the planet. Amen. And God is saying that time is short. Today is a day of salvation. Today is a day to be reconciled to God because the day will come when the door will close. The opportunity will be over. Today is a day of salvation. Will you call on the Lord? Will you repent of your sins? Will you give your life to Jesus Christ so that he can take out of you that heart of stone and give you that heart of flesh? You can become a new creation, praise God. Not only can you be saved, but now you can become a vessel, hallelujah, that God will work through and reaching others around you for Jesus. That's why you have friends that are tugging on you and say, hey, come to church. Hey, you have friends that are saying, hey, get reconciled to God. Jesus loves you. He died for you, but he can't save you unless you surrender your life to him. You know, if you really trust God, you'll surrender your life to him. If you really trust him, you'll surrender to him. In other words, it's no longer I, like Paul said, that lives, but Christ who lives in me. Jesus said, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. How many here are harvesters today? Amen. How many here say, Lord, here am I, send me. I want to be involved. As you showed me mercy, I want to do likewise. As you've forgiven me, I want to forgive others. And I want to see other people get right. You got something so good, God's done something so good in your life, you just don't want to keep it to yourself. If it's real, amen, it'll be reflected in the way that you live your life. So God wants us in position for His blessing, so He can make us a blessing. This is the thing. We may be asking God to bless us. How many here beside myself are asking God to bless you? Now, before you can be blessed of God, you have to get in position for His blessing. You have to humble yourself. You have to turn from yourself. You have to deny yourself and yield yourself to God. Amen? Because God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed even. He wants to bless you so you can become a blessing to others. But you got to get into position for that. You've got to straighten out these things. Amen. You've got to repent of your sin so that you're in position now. Amen. For the favor and the blessing of your Father to come upon you. That's why He says we need to forgive. Amen. And we need to pray. We don't want our prayers hindered. When you had a falling out with somebody, amen, you got to get it right so your prayers aren't hindered. So the favor and blessing of God can flow in your life. Hallelujah. Jesus paid the price for all that, all those sins. Doesn't matter what you've done. God's willing to forgive you if you will come to Him and surrender your life. You got to give Him the old so you can receive the new. What are we really living for anyways? Are we just living for the latest toy? The latest thrill? The spirit of recreation, as some would say. Spirit of entertainment. What are we really living for? How many know that a happy life is not a result of having many toys, having stuff? Some of the most unhappy people are people that have the most. And America is one of those nations, including Japan, that has one of the highest suicide rates in the world. And yet they're one of the most prosperous. Because they're realizing that all the stuff that was presented as something to make you happy and satisfy you was nothing but a lie. It was empty. Happiness stems from the enjoyment of Him who is the author of life. A life lived with Jesus. Hallelujah. Abiding in Him who's life. His glory. Amen. In our lives. Genuine praise flows out of a heart that's been touched by the awesome goodness of God. Blessed people automatically praise God. You don't have to be prodded. You don't need a pep rally to praise the Lord. Amen. When you are blessed by the Lord, you automatically, hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus! Praise you, Lord, you're good. Hallelujah. So you got to get into position. You got to get reconciled. If you're not, because God wants to fill you. God wants to pour His glory out through you and I in the earth. So we need His blessing, guys. But in order to get the blessing, you got to get in position for it. Amen. When they would anoint kings and priests, amen, prophets, they would have to take position to humble themselves. Amen. And position themselves for the glory of God. Amen. For the anointing to come. We have to bow our knee to Christ and we have to confess and renounce our sinful ways. Amen? And reconcile our relationships and forgive others and get things straight. Make restitution where necessary. If you used to steal, it's time for you to go back and start paying some people back, amen, and blessing them or blessing others. Now, if you won't steal now, you start to give, amen? When you used to curse, now you start blessing. When you are hateful now, you start living in the love of God. Amen. You do the opposite of it. You put yourself in position to obey the Spirit of the Lord and the Word. Amen. And then you're in position for God to bless your life, and the favor of God will come upon you. And when you are blessed of God, you will be a blessing to others. Hallelujah.